Join me in Matthew chapter 16, please. Verse 24. A bit of context before I read. This is a very, very important chapter. Jesus has once again wrangled with the Pharisees and Sadducees after they demanded signs, and Jesus taught his disciples not to listen to the Pharisaical teaching, the leaven that would come in and affect them. Most prominently, just before this passage, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter correctly responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," the most important of all questions. And then Jesus begins now teaching them about the suffering that he himself must take and have. Also, that he will be killed, but thankfully that he would be raised on the third day. First of all, he's speaking of them. But now here in verse 24, he broadens that perspective of suffering. And so I bring that to you here this morning. Hear the inspired holy word of our Lord. "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him take up his cross, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.'" I pray the Lord that add his blessing to the reading of our word, and Holy Spirit, come and open our hearts and ears that we might understand, comprehend this beautiful, beautiful word. The Christian faith is full of paradox. Paradox, a statement that at first seems contrary in nature and doesn't make a lot of sense. But in the end, after giving it some time, the statement means more and more than, of course, we might first imagine. The Christian faith is full of it. Here are just a few. We receive by giving. We are exalted by being humbled. We become great by becoming small. In our weakness, we become strong. We lead by serving. And then finally, we live by dying. Again, statements that seem contrary to the uninformed mind, but we in the Christian faith, if we've been around any time at all, we've heard these and have some level of understanding. But our Lord Jesus centers in on this last one. We live by dying. Certainly a paradox. This is what our Lord Jesus is talking about. If you will, join me in verse 25 once again. He said, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Okay, Lord, I try to save my life and I lose it. But if I lose my life, I find it. If we try to save, fulfill, search for meaning in our own lives, using our own strength, using our own wisdom, if we give ourselves to the ways of the world, if we give ourselves to our own ideas, our own impressions, our own thoughts, and formulate this way of life within our own comprehension, according to this text, we will lose. Our Lord says in verse 26, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Now, this is not speaking against wealth. Don't go there. But if I have as my ambition my way of life to seek and search after and give great amounts of energy to the ways of this world, to the riches of this world, to the pleasures of this world, yet I do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, then I have forfeited. I have put another God in place. However, and here's the real challenging part. However, if we give up, if we give away, if we put away our ambitions for worldly gain, if we lose our ambitions for things of this world, to look good in this world, to be approved by this world, to have some level of understanding that is worldly, if we give all of that away and set our sights solely and totally, commit our way to the Lord Jesus Christ, then that life is true life. Certainly a paradox. And to the worldly mind makes no sense at all. But you have to simply ask yourself the question. It is, for which existence am I living? Am I living for the here and now? Or as we are learning in the couple's Bible study, as man and wife, are we preparing each other for eternity? Where's your ambition? Where's your ambition? This passage resonates with me a great deal. If you allow me a moment, just a bit of personal testimony. Raised in a loving family, no doubt. My mom calls me her heart. My brother and sister don't like that, but they'll get over it. But at 15 years of age, my dad was involved in an accident, broke his back, was out of work on and off the rest of his life. And the five of us lived on $60 a week. I drove a school bus at the time, and that's how we bought a lot of groceries. But when I graduated high school and Judy and I met, I went to work for Duke Energy. I set my sights to not ever be back where I was. I rose pretty fairly, quickly in Duke Energy, and traveled around more than my daughters or my wife would care to remember. We moved 18 times. Because every time we moved, it was a better job, better pay, and they always had those moving bonuses. That's why my back is so bad, because I took the moving bonuses, then moved myself. But I had that search. I had that yearning that I would not be back where I was. And so we went after the huge house with a pool in the back and three cars in the garage, and I was doing well. But the Lord put a man in my life by the name of Tim Lovett in Scottsboro, Alabama. I had the girls in church, but I was there to be there. But when I met Tim, God knew what I needed in a man to change paradigms in my mind. I met him on the front porch of the church. He was in loafers, blue jeans, no socks, and a sports shirt. I thought he was just one of the guys hanging out on the front porch. He was the preacher. I loved him. But God used that man to change my whole paradigm. And so by the time we moved back to Mooresville and we did buy that huge house, Judy and I both at the same time, when we signed the paperwork for that $300,000 house, we both knew it was wrong. Because it was at that same time God began to call me, us, into the ministry. And it was through that transition of time, this passage began to make sense. Because, see, I was searching for the ways of the world. I was searching for what the world thought was important. I was searching to have my name and the finances associated with that position. But it wasn't until we sold almost everything, moved into a house that Charles Guignard gave us. He called me one Sunday afternoon and says, I got a house I want to give you. Yep. And we did. We sold everything and began the ministry. That is when I truly began to live. and truly began to understand what was real. Jesus said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I have a long way to go, but I found that time what it meant to be alive. But there's a challenging part to that. How do we gain this life in Christ? Look with me at verse 24. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Wait a minute, Lord, you're asking too much now. Deny self and take up a cross. What does it mean to deny self? Well, just in like in my story, you turn away from all of those things that are selfishly motivated. You put them away. You deny the yearning in here to be personally successful. You put away the personal ambitions to look good and to be something. I can remember telling one of the vice presidents, I said, I don't care where you put me, I just want my name on top. How arrogant and stupid. He told me such. Take up a cross. Now, guys, here's the hard part. What does it mean to take up a cross? Notice he says your cross, not his. He's already dealt with his. Your cross. What was the cross in the first century? A place of degradation. A place of humiliation, a place of scorn. Jesus was hung on the cross between two thieves because that's what they deserved. And there on that cross, he died one of the most humiliating deaths, suffocating, there almost nude with everybody to see. A cross is a place of humiliation. A cross is a place of pain. A cross is a place of sacrifice. What Jesus Christ here is telling you is deny what you have said is important and take up the cross I've given you. Take up that cross of the Christian faith, and that's what you carry. Folks, the lesson is easy today, but it's also very, very hard. It's easy to hear. Deny self and take up the cross. Deny self. Are you willing to step down from your career at this point, sell your home, all of your belongings, and go to the mission field? Are you? Are you prepared to put away that self-motivated ambition and go down and serve every day at Fifth Street Ministries? Are you willing to put aside the gathering of material things that we think makes us so important and say, Lord, they're all yours? You see, it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Now, again, this passage is not speaking against the claiming or the having of wealth. It's the perspective and the mindset behind it. Because some people with great wealth do incredible things for the Christian faith. But for many, wealth is in the way, and it needs to go. You see, that's what we're reminded of here with this table. What wealth did the Lord Jesus Christ have before he laid down his crown, took off his royal robe, and came into this world as a child? What wealth did he have? Nobody knows. But yet he put it all aside. He put it all aside. But then what did he gain? If I can make this personal to our Lord, what did he gain? He gained a church, a body of people that he brought to himself that will worship and glorify and honor him. And he is now seated on that throne again. If you give up your life now, following this teaching, whether it be literally, physically, or spiritually, then you will find your own throne. you will find yourself sitting there with the Lord Jesus Christ on that day of judgment, rendering judgment on the world. Colossians teaches us that. You see, this table reminds us of that, but it also calls us to that. It also calls us to that. As I was putting together this message, I kind of chuckled, you know, I said, this will fill the pews. This will bring them in the doors. Deacons, y'all might as well just go take the doors off the hinges. They're going to be driving in by the truckloads to hear that you got to die, that you got to carry a cross, that you have to be humbled in order to be made great, that you have to die to self in order to gain true life. It makes no sense to the human earthly mind. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. You think you got a life now? We're all going to live in mansions. This is one of those challenging, heartfelt issues that I can't answer for you. Your mom and dad can't answer for you. Your spouse can't answer for you. What's in your heart? Have you said, Lord, this is all yours. Do with me what you want. Or have you said, well, maybe not that part.